Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 78 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how have you been this week?
I've been so great. Thank you for asking. You might remember our dear beloved cat passed away a few weeks ago. And while we could never replace him, we did adopt a couple new cats from a shelter this week. And they have taken over my life in the last 48 hours. And I love it. It's really wonderful. They're kittens and they're just perfect. But I also got to do something kind of cool. I went down to International Drive to Icon Park and went to Moobies.
This is a
pop-up restaurant for fans of Kevin Smith's View Askew Universe films like Clerks and Dogma and Jay and Silent Bob. So I paid a ridiculous amount of money for pretty good fast food and some souvenirs. And I got to say, it is definitely for the hardcore Kevin Smith fans, but for me, totally worth it. And they've just extended it through, I think, the 25th of the month. So if you're into the Jay and Silent Bob movies and you're in Orlando, definitely Google it. Check it out.
I watched View from the Cheap Seats. I watched his vlog of it. It looked like so much fun. And Kevin Smith was just there with his mom.
Yeah, so the word is the first day and maybe part of the second day, Kevin Smith was there, and also Brian O'Halloran, who's Dante Hicks in the Clerks films. He was there. He's down here doing a retro convention. But I had a late appointment on Saturday night, and by the time I got there, there was no one famous there. but that's okay, because I still had a good time.
Yeah. Did you get to, I know they had specially brewed 4-packs or 6-packs. Did you get any of those?
I did not. I did get a moonshine cocktail, themed cocktail. And I also got a perfectly ordinary Coca-Cola in a very expensive cardboard cup.
Nice.
We won't talk much about the $29 chicken sandwich. It was the best It was the best $29 chicken sandwich I've ever had. However, I'm not so sure about the 10-15% in ticketing fees and online fees and service charges. So that's another conversation. But
right.
Hey, I have given Kevin Smith a lot of money over the years. This is honestly just a drop in the bucket. I'm fine with it. I'm cool.
Maybe they should just like send him a cut of your paycheck every week.
I've been seeing his movies, paying to see his movies since like 1994, and bought a lot of merch over the years and conventions and stuff. So how am I going to stop now? Right.
Right.
So how was your week?
Eventful, I would say.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So as we were hanging out and doing our usual weekday thing, turns out I was eligible to get vaccinated, and that's what I did on Friday. Yay!
Mazel tov! Congratulations!
Yay! In 28 days, I will be fully inoculated. Yay! It was honestly kind of apocalyptic in a way. I went to it was an unfinished hospital building, so it was just the concrete and the walls. It was an expansion for my primary care network's hospital. And
yikes.
They just
if you see dead inside, do not open.
It felt like The Walking Dead, and they had a bunch of folding tables set up, and you would just come in, fill out a form, sit, go get stuck, sit for 15 minutes, and then you leave. And it was constantly people leaving and doing that same thing. But I got the Johnson & Johnson one. So I'm one and done.
One and done.
Yeah.
You're out.
So I guess now it's safe to start planning trips for after my 28-day period is up. It feels really weird and also kind of serendipitous in a way, because around this same time last year, we came back from Orlando for the Mickey and Minnie opening, and everything closed. So.
It's so weird. This past weekend, there's a lot of, talk about what were you doing 1 year ago today? What were your photos from 1 year ago, this weekend? And I actually got to see my mom for the first time in a year, and
Oh, wow.
she got her vaccine just about a month ago. So I was able to hug her for the first time in a year, which was pretty great. Looking back at photos from those final couple days when Disney and Universal were opening, were still open before the shutdown, it's just so strange to think that that was a year ago. I don't know whether that seems like too long or too short. It was like 1,000 years and 15 minutes at the same time.
And it was a whole thing, but it really put this whole past year into perspective for me getting that done.
Absolutely.
And
I'm happy and jealous, and I hope Florida catches up with
yes.
everyone being eligible as soon as possible.
Come on. But other than that, I spent the rest of the weekend laid up because of the vaccine.
That's
And
how you know
then,
it's working.
right, that's how you know it's working. And then today I was supposed to go to the junket for the Falcon and Winter Soldier. I got to watch the first episode on Friday. And there was a Zoom snafu, and I got into the room right at the end of the Q&A session. Because it didn't start on time, at least not for me. And then I left and was like, oh, maybe it's delayed, and then came back and it let me in right at the end. But it's okay. We're taking care of it. But it was still cool to see the first episode. I'm really excited to see what they do with it. It feels like it's going to be really heavy, like Blip and the trauma of it heavy.
Okay, so this will be the male equivalent of WandaVision being the female version of like all the grief and angst. This will be guys crying it out and sharing their feelings.
Well, that would be great. I think it's gonna be really hard for fans of Bucky to see him like get his comeuppance, I guess, for everything. But they only let me see one episode this time. And if there's anything I've learned, it's that they only give you X number of episodes because something happens that's important.
Well, I had no spoilers. I don't know anything about the plot. I haven't seen
I
that
won't
first
say
up, but
anything.
your mention of Bucky getting his comeuppance, there's been a lot of chatter on social media about WandaVision and, Wanda isn't properly punished. Wanda doesn't, get what she deserves. I don't hear those same fans saying that Bucky deserves to go to prison for all the people that he assassinated over the years. So some fans seem kind of selective about which heroes they think deserve to be punished and which ones we should just let get away with it. It's kind of interesting. I wonder what the difference is between them.
I wonder. It's very interesting to see whose real life Crime and Punishment applies to fantasy characters when they feel like it. But anyway, let's get
Let's
into
do it.
the news. And first up this week, there is a new place to grab a beverage at Busch Gardens Tampa, or at
Because you
least
can never have too many places to grab a beer at Busch Gardens Tampa.
at least now, or starting on March 19th, for pass members, and then March 26th for everybody else, you can do it with a view.
What looks like a pretty amazing view of some giraffes and other animals on the Serengeti Plain.
Yeah, that sounds
This
kind of awesome.
looks pretty upscale for Busch Gardens Tampa. This kind of looks like Busch trying to do a Tiffin's. Maybe the food isn't quite at that level, but the bar that's there in Animal Kingdom, it looks like they're kind of shooting for that crowd almost. And they're, definitely amazing atmosphere and some interesting craft beer flights available. And vegetarian small plates also, so you can graze while you look at the animals.
This is called the Giraffe Bar, And some of the menu items include frozen specialty drinks, cocktails, Florida craft beers, some domestic beers as well, wine and spirits that support wildlife conservation efforts, which I thought was really interesting and unique.
I think as we get closer to the opening of Iron Gwazi, this would be a great place to wait out. Like,
You know,
if you're doing a Gwazi watch, you're just hanging out hoping for a soft opening. I think this is the place to bide your time.
Well, see, you say that, and now all the bloggers are gonna. This is gonna be the hangout spot.
Yeah.
But it seems really cool. I'm excited to see it once it's actually open. This is obviously just a rendering if you're here with us on the live show. But it definitely does. That's a great way to describe it, the Tiffins for the Busch Gardens crowd.
That's at least the hint I get from the press release and the concept art. Let's we'll see what it turns out to be in person.
For sure. Next up, we got a look at the new Minion Cafe over at Universal Studios Hollywood, and it's Minions.
The food definitely appears quite photogenic. It looks a lot better than the stuff that was served there. This restaurant was also previously a Despicable Me-themed quick service location. Never really got traction with its menu. This new menu seems to be emphasizing different kinds of grilled cheese sandwiches served with crinkle cut fries, and they've got some interesting toppings like Mexican cheese, or I think there's one that's got a fruit barbecue sauce with pulled pork.
Yes, banana barbecue sauce,
of course, because it's Minions, so yeah. You know, you got to have bananas in there somewhere. The one that I'm really looking forward to trying is they've got a pork ramen, and I am the opinion that there is not nearly enough ramen in theme parks in this country.
Thank you.
Like the Epcot, that's pretty much the only place where you can get a bowl of ramen, at least that I can think of in the major parks. So this is that is probably what I'm going to order next time I go. Especially
also,
if it's a cold time of the year.
Despicable ramen?
Oh, yeah. We've got lots of terrible puns and references to characters from the Despicable Me movies. I'm also, of course, there's going to be some fun theming inside there. Probably nothing too elaborate. There's no animatronics or anything as far as I know, but definitely some fun signage and lots of references to everyone's favorite Minions.
You know what would be neat? I'm sure they did not do this, but what if they took Toad's Cafe from Super Nintendo and did that, but with Minions, so that you could see via screens the Minions making your food in the kitchen?
Awesome. That would be fantastic. Well, you know, I always said that that's what the Muppet Pizza place, the Pizza Rizzo should have been. So good to see, Universal did that out. hopefully we will be seeing that coming to Hollywood, and also Universal when Super Nintendo World, which we might be talking about a little later.
If you have not been able to head over to Universal Orlando for Mardi Gras, you're in luck, because they just added 2 extra weeks onto the end of the festival.
I'm so happy, because I need more time to eat my way around this. I just finished off my first tasting lanyard with 15 items. And I'd say pretty much everything I've tried so far was really quite good. The last one I tried was the Canadian short rib poutine.
Ooh.
And I got to say, first of all, it's a lot cheaper. It's like half the price of the poutine that they have at Refreshment Port at Epcot. And I thought it was great. There's a whiskey punch that they pair with it, a Sugar Shack punch that was really tasty. And really, everything I've had has been a really good value at this event. So I'm looking forward to it. The good times rolling for a few more weeks.
Yeah. So you have until April 11th to go hang out and stuff your face. Do it for me, because I love Cajun food, and I have to wait 28 days before I feel comfortable going anywhere. Some unfortunate news, though not really unexpected. Disneyland Paris has announced that their planned opening on April 2nd is no more due to everything happening over there related to COVID-19. They are postponing their reopening
this
again.
This park cannot catch a break. I feel like it has had openings and closings and false starts more than any other Disney park. I feel like every few weeks there's another announcement about a delay or a reclosure.
Them and Hong Kong.
Yeah. Yeah. Hong Kong appears to have been kind of settled down now that it's back open. It seems to be a little more consistent. But yeah, hopefully, you know, before the end of this year, vaccination rates will be consistent enough across Europe that Disneyland Paris can open back up. But right now, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah.
If you had booked an early April trip out there, hoping that they were going to be open, talk to your travel agent now.
Yeah. At least they said on the earnings call the other day that it's still getting the expansions planned.
Yep.
So, positive silver lining there. Over at Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World, we have started to see the first appearance of the 50th anniversary decor.
I think it looks great. This, you know, iridescent paint scheme that's kind of a little gold, a little blue. I think it looks a lot classier than some of the other anniversary paint schemes that they've gone with in the past. So I'm perfectly happy with it. But I think it kind of says something about how scaled back the announced 50th anniversary stuff has become, that we ooh and ah over a single, you know, banner being hung up. Like, you know, we should be talking about big new fireworks shows and lots of attractions opening, and instead we're just like hungry for any crumb that says that, you know, we can look forward to a big party by the end of this year. It is what it is, but
yeah, I mean, I think it'll look really pretty when it's all done.
I think it'll be great when it's all done. And I'm actually more interested, more than the stuff that they slap on, which will ultimately be temporary. I'm a little more interested in this refurbishment that's going on to the Castle Forecourt stage, because it looks like a lot more than just a repainting. It looks like they're, you know, pouring new cement. They're doing some infrastructure work to this thing. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. They certainly have not announced a new show for that stage. But I would say if you're going to be doing socially distanced outdoor performances, that would be a great spot to start doing them. And and I can't wait for more live entertainment to come back to the Magic Kingdom. So I'm glad to see they're still at least investing in that stage. Obviously, they've got some plans for it.
Yeah, since the 50th seems like it's going to be kind of low key in comparison to all the things that everyone dreamed up in their heads.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that was, you know, if you go back to a couple D23s ago, there's a lot of stuff that we thought would be appearing for the 50th, and some of it will appear during the 50th, as long as you believe that a year lasts 18 months and then maybe a little more. it'll all come, or, well, not all, sorry, Mary Poppins, but it'll mostly come eventually.
Eventually. Speaking of eventually, Super Nintendo World has a new opening date.
Yes, this is exciting. March 18th is the official grand opening of Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Japan. There have been lots of previews. In fact, if you go on our YouTube channel, you can find some amazing videos. I know you don't want to spoil yourself, but let's face it, if you live in America, it's probably going to be a while before you can get over to Japan. So go ahead and watch it, because I think that even the videos, as good as they are, cannot compare to what being in this land for real is going to be like.
Yep. I'm just foaming at the mouth. I want to go and eat all the food and buy stuff and look at the toads making my meal in the kitchen windows.
I want to play all the interactive stuff. I want to look through the telescope and look for Pikmin.
Yep.
You know, the rides, great. I think the rides are going to be fantastic, but it's just soaking up that atmosphere. It's just being inside that video game world. That's what I can't wait for. And I believe that Japan is still very restrictive about travel, so you don't think that you're gonna hop on a plane tomorrow. And even once it does open up, they are using a entry ticket system where you are not gonna be guaranteed admission to Super Nintendo World. They're gonna restrict capacity. So make sure when you do make that trip over, you really read up on what kind of operations are going on at that time. Because you might be disappointed if you fly a long way and can't get in.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, we were funny that we you talk about it like that, because Josh and I were just talking about how we want to plan a trip to Japan once it is like once we're allowed to go,
I've
but
been talking about it for years for my 50th birthday, and I feel like after we lived through this past year, I want to make it happen.
you've earned it.
Yeah,
You should
we
do it.
survived.
Yeah, right? I want to go, you
But
know?
I tell you, I think that we will be seeing Super Nintendo in Orlando before we see Mary Poppins.
Ooh.
The construction's restarted on Epic Universe, and they have officially reconfirmed that Super Nintendo is still part of that project. And I'm betting that you're going to see that before 2025 is over. So maybe even sooner, who knows?
I mean, if that means that I can just hop on a plane to Orlando and check it out,
Yep.
I would do that too.
Yep. It's going to be a couple years behind what we originally hoped for, but not that many years.
I
Or hey,
can
in Hollywood, you're not that far from Hollywood,
wait. Right,
and they
yeah.
are more than halfway done out there. So I think it's not going to open this year, but I think there's a great chance that that opens in 2022 and really kickstarts tourism back in California next year.
I was just looking at photos of that one today. Yeah. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure got a grand opening date during the Disney annual investors meeting call.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this date, and I think a lot of people were kind of surprised
But,
by how far in the future it is.
yeah, it felt like a big eye roll because they're like, of course, they're going to open it on the 50th anniversary and in a new financial quarter. So it'll bump up their numbers.
Yes, on the one hand, there's a symbolic and sentimental importance to the October 1st date because that is the 50th anniversary of the resort. There's also a big financial, it implies that the executives at this point are kind of like, all right, we gave up on 2020 and 2021's kind of a wash. We're just putting everything into the financial year 2022, which starts on October 1st. And it basically means that they want their numbers to look really good for next year so that they all get bonuses for their year-over-year numbers increasing. I mean, that's the cynical way of looking at it. I know there are plenty of people who think that's the smart way of looking at it. I like to think that October 1st is maybe because they want to make sure that enough people have been vaccinated by the, mid late
True.
fall that they can handle the crowds, because obviously this attraction, it's got a really adorable interior queue, that where you sort of go through Paris rooftops at night,
Oh.
assuming that it's similar to the one that is in the par in Paris, which I've been on. But it's not a high capacity interior queue, and they're not doing fast pass and stuff right now. So unless they want to start doing Rise of the Resistance boarding passes for this attraction, maybe they want to hold off until they feel like they can do a little less social distancing safely and increase the capacity of the attraction up to what it was designed to be. That's a charitable explanation, and I'm betting that by late summer, we might see some soft opens or annual pass holder previews or something. I can't imagine that Disney is going to want to sit and watch Universal have VelociCoaster running all summer long and have all that great press and hype and not want to do something to kind of undercut it and get a little attention back on them. So my guess is that I'm going to be riding that before October 1st, but If not, hopefully I will be able to get a park pass reservation for one of those parks and hop over there.
Right. You'll also have to go to Le Creperie de Paris and get a snack.
Yes, and when I can finally get in there, we got to do a head-to-head, the new Epcot Creperie versus Universal's.
Yeah.
Which two crepes enter, one crepe leaves.
I just want to see you with like a wrestler face on holding the two crepes. Like, I will have to do it. That's a
Absolutely.
video waiting to happen.
Absolutely. We'll get Matt to fund that. We'll get a whole crew and everything.
Yeah, if you're listening, we have a video idea to pitch you. This was a surprise. Coming soon, Disney Magic Mobile replacing Magic Bands everywhere. Not really, but for some people,
It's
yeah.
yet another alternative to the Magic Bands, which are no longer being distributed free to hotel guests, but are still available for purchase. And if you've already got one that's battery hasn't died yet, still perfectly good. Hang on to it. But yeah, for those of us who just like are attached to our phone, especially a modern iPhone, this is one last thing that we'll have to carry through the parks. I think the really interesting thing, they haven't explained exactly what technology it's using, but from the details, I am thinking that this is you're not going to have to use a touch ID or a face ID, which involves a passcode. You're merely going to have to hold up your phone near a touch point, like the entry of the parks, and it should instantly read without you having to confirm anything. If that's true, that's one of the few things that Apple has allowed to do that on the iPhone. I think like subway passes in New York City are one of the only other things that they've it's like a transit pass system. It uses the NFC technology, I believe. And yeah, it's usually you have to confirm that with a face ID or a finger ID. But if they make that so you can just wave your phone or your Apple Watch, if you haven't have an Apple Watch, that'll, for me, that's great. It's one less thing I have to remember to strap on when I head out to the parks.
Yeah, and especially for Apple Watch users, it's really
Oh, yeah.
cumbersome if you wear both on your
Totally,
left
yes.
hand. And this just takes one thing out of the
One
equation.
less thing to worry about. Yep. And this does not, as far as we know, replace the system that they already have for key cards, for using an electronic key to access your room. But eventually this will probably be all merged into one, and then will be implanted under your skin. I'm sure Bill Gates is working on that right now.
Someone's already done
That
that.
was sarcastic. That was not for real. No.
We do not condone such
We do
behavior.
not endorse conspiracy theories.
I mean, they do have the digital key feature on your phone already. They have mobile ordering and contactless payment. Now they have Magic Mobile. I feel like eventually all of our interactions and transactions with Disney is just going to be through our phones. No more Magic Bands, no more third party things.
If they can just get a version of this app for my Oculus Quest, I never have to go to the park at all. I just
Well, there you
strap on the VR and I'm just there.
I wonder what that annual pass would cost.
Probably not that much less than the real one. They'd find a way.
They'd charge you more.
With all the in-app purchases for your
Yep.
avatar,
You would have to.
buying virtual digital t-shirts and other things. Yeah.
He'll come with like an oxygen thing that will pump
All
smells
right,
of
we got to
the
stop before we give them ideas. They're furiously taking notes. They're going to copyright and monetize all this tomorrow.
And we're not going to get a dime.
Nope. Never.
And before we go to, well, actually, we just have the main attraction. I don't know what I was saying there. My brain just kind
Let's
of
do
took
it.
the wheel.
My brain took a hike, so.
Disneyland is reopening.
Hallelujah,
Yay! I thought this
finally.
day would never
Angels
come.
singing, bells ringing. Now, we know late April, according to CEO Bob Chapek, which is more information than we've had in a whole year. So fantastic. We do not have an actual date yet. If you saw a actual date going around on social media, you were lied to. I think there were some faked photoshopped images going around. All we know is late April, and we don't know yet, you know, how they're going to open the parks, if it's going to be staggered, exactly which hotels are going to be open. But we just know that by the end of the month, someone is going to be going and riding a ride in Disneyland. And that's pretty freaking great.
Yeah, I was so excited when the initial State of California news came out. And I certainly didn't expect Disneyland to be like, yep, April 1st, we're opening back up.
Yeah.
But I would hope it's not like April 30th, though knowing Disney, it could very well be.
Disclaimer, this is all still contingent on them hitting their numbers in terms of getting into the proper tier, maintaining, you know, keeping their contagion, their positivity rates under a certain level.
Yes.
You can look up all of the details on exactly what numbers they need to hit. But originally it sounded like they would have to open at 15% capacity. Mm-hmm. Now it's looking like they might be able to open closer to 25% capacity. And I think with 15%, they would have no indoor dining. With 25% capacity, they would be able to have some indoor dining. So we still don't know exactly, you know, what they're going to be able to do, but they're going to be able to do something as long as all the trends keep moving in the same direction that they are. Which is great. My gut is telling me that in terms of hotels, that the Grand Californian and the Paradise Pier will reopen, but not the Disneyland Hotel, because there's a big honking security fence that has kind of cut the Disneyland Hotel off from the rest of the property.
Oh, no.
It's something they could take back down, but they seem to have spent a little time and effort putting it up. So that might indicate that they think that they're going to start with just two of the hotels. And honestly, you know, with 25% capacity, they could almost fill up those parks with the hotels' guests if they had those hotels at capacity. And plus, you gotta, you know, you gotta figure in all of those other mom and pop hotels in the area. How many of them are going to be able to afford to reopen if out-of-state guests are restricted, as the initial guidelines have said? The initial guidance that came out said that you will have to be a State of California resident to either purchase tickets or use tickets. That's, I don't think, entirely clear. And the enforcement method was also not entirely clear. So, you know, if you've got a friend who lives in California who might be able to buy you tickets, I don't know if that's going to work out or not. It's all a big question mark right now.
Yeah, because we talked about that. We have friends in California, and we were like, flights are like $60.
Yeah.
Are they going to check our IDs at the gate when they scan the tickets in and take a picture of your face?
Exactly. We do know they're in addition to, you know, all annual passes have been canceled. So you're going to have to buy a ticket, and that will probably almost certainly be a date-specific ticket. And even if they do have multi-day tickets, there's going to be a park pass reservation system like they have in Walt Disney World. So it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be tourist-friendly. They're going to be starting small and slow. If you are one of the lucky few who gets into that park, it's going to be heaven. Because, you know, Disneyland with only 15 or 25% of the norm, you know, the maximum number of people would be like, you know, a private party. That sounds amazing. You know, I wouldn't go necessarily booking your flight right now until a little more information about who can go in and when is released.
Yeah. Bob said during the call that we should expect some news in the coming weeks, but that is as vague as it could possibly get. So, yeah. I mean, we're already halfway through March by the time that you're listening to this. So,
if nothing else, there's a lot of employees who've been furloughed who need to be reactivated, retrained. There's costumes to be cleaned. There's, you know, rides that need to be cycled back up and retested, and all, you know, they've been keeping the lights on, but, you know, it's a big machine and it takes a while to get that engine running again. So if you do happen to be one of those people who is lucky enough to get there on the opening day of Disneyland, please don't do a blog about how everything is terrible and it's not the same as you remember it. Be patient with the cast members. You know, they've been through a lot. It's going to take time. It's not going to be normal. It wasn't normal right away at Walt Disney World. It still isn't normal. don't be a jerk and go out there and just, you know, poop all over the magic if you are lucky enough to get back in there, please.
I feel like that quote needs to go somewhere. Don't be a jerk and poop all over the magic.
Yeah. Honest feedback is one thing, but yeah, you gotta have reasonable expectations when we're coming back after a year after a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't know what every cast member's individual gear has been like, you know, to have them coming back to work.
Absolutely. You know, can you imagine? You know, I'm sure there are some people who are psychologically prepared to put on a big smile and wave hello to everyone. And there's some people who have just been clinging on to dear life with their fingernails. And, you know, so I don't be mean to these cast members when you go out. Please, you know, be grateful. Be
nice.
Be, if you're one of the chosen few, be grateful.
Yeah. Or we're going to be very disappointed in you. And that's the worst.
And that's the worst.
That is the worst. And that one would always give me to more than any kind of like grounding, just the disappointed. The
disappointment. Ugh.
And before we go, you guys listened to me last week and we have some listener thank yous to share.
Yes, thank you.
Quite a few, actually. I wonder awesome. If we did this or if the timing was just a little delayed.
It's all you, and you should get a cut.
Matt, I'm just kidding. if you didn't know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service, and if you pick the club or VIP tiers the week after you subscribe, we send you a shout-out on the Attractions Podcast. I'm not going to be physically shouting, but symbolic shouting and applause goes to Mike Blakesley, Stephen Hank, Don Snow, Robin, Don Jones, and Terry Davis. Thank you so much.
Yay! Kermit the arm wave. Yeah. Kermit the frog arm wave. Yay! Oh my God, he's so adorable.
It's my Kermit Nemo, everyone. I caved into the fad.
Introduce everyone to your new friend.
Hello, everybody. I really love them. I thought they were kind of cheesy, and then I bought one to make tiny Super Yaki shirts for him, and now I love him. So I'm part of the Nuemo Trash family now. And if you are interested, our spring 2021 issue is now available for pre-order.
I just finished the winter issue. I was savoring it. Because you had several good articles in there, and I didn't want to, you know, blow through them all at once.
It's like a fine 10-11 course meal. But if you're interested, you can pick that up at attractionsmagazine.com/store. And the cover story is all about Super Nintendo World.
Yay. Lots of great pictures.
Mm-hmm. There's also the digital subscription option available if you prefer to read your magazines and news on an iPad or an iPhone or whatever technological thingy mabob that you prefer to use.
Save a dead tree. I appreciate that.
Yeah, save a dead tree.
If you love this show as much as we love doing the show for you, please let others know about it by first subscribing. I believe that iTunes is changing the terminology to follow because people thought that subscribing means they have to pay for it. So you don't have to pay, totally free. Tell your friends by subscribing, following, and most importantly, giving us, please, a 5-star review that helps the algorithm get us in front of more eyeballs and earballs. Earballs?
Ear holes?
Ear holes. Okay. That
ear
sounds,
holes.
That sounds a little, you know.
I mean, it all sounds.
Let's move along. Let's move along.
Now that we've sufficiently embarrassed ourselves.
Oh, I've never sufficiently embarrassed myself. Trust me, I can keep going.
Seth, if you would, tell everyone where they can find you on the interwebs.
If you really want, you can visit me on Twitter and Instagram at @skuberski or at the UG series. But more importantly, pick up a copy of The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando 2021 at theunofficialguides.com.
Do it. And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. Also, every single day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been watching this episode and saw us fumble the end there. Hashtag earballs.
Hey, it might have been clumsy, but at least it was short. We're like, you know, a tight 44 minutes. This is
yeah,
a good one.
We're a well-oiled machine.
Yep.
And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, and have fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.